Now, as we begin our sermon time, please pray with me. Almighty God, take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them. Holy Spirit, challenge our hearts and minds. Bring transformation in our lives and change us to be your people. We pray this in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This morning we're going to be taking a look at our gospel reading in Luke. And if you want to follow along, we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, which is on page 878 in the Pew Bibles. Or if you have your own Bibles, I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 19. But this morning I want to start with a testimony that comes from one of our 17-year-old high school students, Morgan Combs. 2 weeks ago, I was away. I had the privilege of serving on the Dynamos retreat. This is a retreat where high school students lead other high school students into God's presence, where through their own testimonies and teaching, lives are changed by the power of God. So it's a privilege to get to be there. And Morgan was the rector. She's a high school senior here at Redeemer. If she were here this morning, she would be reading it. I'm hoping she'll read it at the second service, but I have the privilege of reading her words from her talk that happened on Sunday afternoon, the final talk of the weekend. So these are the words of Morgan Combs. The problem I've struggled with as a teenager is that I didn't know exactly who I was. I've always looked for my identity in the things I do, how I help others, the activities I participate in, and my grades in school, but I've always been confused about what I'm supposed to do in life, as many teenagers are. I'm sure none of you can relate to her words. She continues, I've been afraid to try new experiences or to make important decisions because I was afraid of disappointing myself or thinking I could do better. But I know that God has a great plan for each and every one of us, so we don't have to be afraid of what the future holds. She continues, after Dynamos 14, I entered a whole new community of people. That was her first Dynamos retreat. These are people that love God and seek after him before anything else. Going to a private Christian school at the time, I saw a new life in my Dynamos friends that I hadn't seen before in my Christian friends at school. My Dynamos friends want to get to know more of God and have meaningful and encouraging relationships with the people they surround themselves with. This community that I'm a part of has made me truly realize who I am. I am a child of God, one of his precious daughters. That's it. That's all that matters. None of my fears and doubts can consume me any longer. Psalm 23:4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Morgan then says, God is more powerful than anything the devil throws in our lives. We live in a world that's consumed with sin and would be very scary without knowing the protection that God provides. Preparing for this Dynamos weekend, I faced trials within my extended family. Sickness, divorce, lots of anger. At school, I've been very stressed and I'm worried about making decisions for college. It seems like I'm supposed to plan my whole life within the next 6 months. I've very quickly learned that what I do, that what college I go to, the career I choose, and all these big decisions I'm making, while they do have an impact on me, they are not the most important things in my life. The most important thing that I have is a relationship with the Lord. Seeking to have a relationship with God will never fail me. He is our rock, our salvation, our comforter. His love is the only thing that is imperishable, unfading, and undefiled. No other thing will make me happy if I don't pursue his love first. Words way beyond her years. Morgan's testimony during that talk made me want to cheer, and in fact, it did make me cheer and made many of the adults cheer in the back. Hearing a young adult express so clearly the impact that God's love has had on her life made us cheer. She gets it. She understands at age 17 what it takes many others decades to understand, that the most important thing in life is her relationship with the Lord. Her relationship in community with other believers and with the Lord. God's love has changed her trajectory, reframed her fears and aspirations, and she is forever transformed. And all praise goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. That final quote, "No other thing will make me happy if I don't pursue his love first." Amen? Amen. Morgan has been transformed by the love of God, as shown to her through her peers, through her church family here at Redeemer. She's been transformed in much the same way that we see Zacchaeus transformed in this reading from the Gospel of Luke. And that's where we turn our attention right now. So this is the story of Zacchaeus, but I'm going to refer to him as Zac. Zac is a Jewish man, but he's a Jewish man that's turned away from his Jewish heritage, his Jewish faith, to pursue the world's way to wealth and happiness. He's turned away from his people, away from his God, and he's joined forces with the occupying Roman rulers. He's not just a collaborator with the Roman occupiers. He's a leader, we read. He's a chief tax collector, it says in verse 2. And verse 2 also declares that he's become rich in his work. This is a man who would have been hated and despised by his Jewish people, by the Jewish culture. But in this encounter, what we see is his dissatisfaction with all that he's achieved through his decision. And his dissatisfaction is exposed. We read here that there was a man named Zacchaeus in verse 2, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Zac has heard about Jesus. He wants to know more. In verse 3, it says that he desires to see who Jesus was. I believe this is much more than he wanted to see Jesus. He wasn't just going to see what Jesus looked like. As I read this text and as I reread it, I hear much more that he wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus and to know him, to understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was. He sensed there was something going on, and he wanted a part of it. I believe that Zac here has realized the emptiness of all that he is, of all that he's pursued, and of all that he has. The emptiness of his status and wealth. And he realizes somehow Jesus has the answer, and nothing can keep him from this encounter. He must see and know this Jesus. And as we read this, a divine appointment it was. So verse 4, Zac displays how important it is that he sees this Jesus. What we read, what the early readers would have heard, is that Zac entirely embarrasses and humiliates himself. Two ways. The first is, he hikes up his robes and he runs ahead of the crowd. Esteemed men did not run in that culture. Leaders, wealthy, did not run in that culture. And yet, he hiked up his robes and ran ahead. And then even worse, he scrambled up a tree like a child. He embarrasses himself and he doesn't care. Now, truth be told, I think he wanted to hide in the tree. He wanted to be behind the big sycamore leaves so that no one could see him. But that really wasn't possible. He was found out. He was exposed. And he doesn't care. Zac knows that he must see who Jesus was, see and meet him. And Zac's encounter with Jesus entirely transforms him. God's love in Jesus Christ initiates radical change in this man. This wealthy man who had everything that the world could offer him. With joy, when Jesus calls to him and invites him down, Zac jumps out of the tree and welcomes Jesus into his home. A little bit of backstory here. Jesus says, or scriptures say, he entered Jericho and was passing through. He wasn't going to stop in Jericho. He was saying no to their hospitality. But then, just outside of town, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. You want to know why everybody was upset? He rejected their hospitality, but then he turned to this tax collector, this collaborator, and said, I must be in your house, Zacchaeus. So the establishment was not happy here. Verse 7, when they saw it, they all grumbled. But he hurried and he welcomed Jesus into his home. With joy, Zac offers hospitality to Jesus. And in the process, you imagine he would have invited all of his friends, all of his people. Again, not necessarily the religious, the faithful, but these would have been tax collectors, just like himself, all of his family, all those who were looked down upon. And in that context, with all of the people that he knows, verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. With joy, Zac publicly exposes his former life and work. He confesses his sin of defrauding others. You imagine all the other tax collectors were happy with what he was saying? Whoa, Zac, calm down. No need to go that far. Zac doesn't care. He repents of his former life. He declares restitution to all those whom he had wronged. Do you see what's happening here? Zac encounters Jesus, and he's dramatically transformed. Jesus proclaims in verse 9 how radical that transformation is. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house. Today, salvation has come to Zac's household. You see here, salvation isn't just about heaven, a ticket to the pearly gates. Salvation here in Zac's life changes one now. It changes you as you walk in your new life in Jesus Christ, then it leads you to eternal life with God at the end. But here, salvation has transformed Zac. He confesses his former life, and in essence, he wouldn't have been welcomed back into it. Salvation transformed Zacchaeus, and he was not the same. Now, a question for you. Has God changed? Between then and now, has God changed? No, you don't sound convinced, but I know that he hasn't. Is Jesus the same today as he was then? A little better. An encounter with Jesus transformed Zac. This past week, Kim and I went on vacation. And while vacation for us is about rest, sitting on the beach, looking at waves, of course, there was a lot of chainsawing. We were in Hilton Head Island, and I was helping clean up my sister's house there. But then there was rest and relaxation. There's a little bit of binge-watching things that we hadn't watched on TV in a long time. But we also spent some time in prayer, seeking God, reading together. And there we encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, new and afresh, together. And we come back from our vacation while not totally rested and refreshed, but we come back rejuvenated by his spirit in us. Our encounter with Jesus on vacation has given us what we need for this next season at Redeemer. Morgan, we heard in her testimony, encountered Jesus and she was forever transformed as she experienced his love and his salvation through Jesus and through his people. Her life and path forward will be, as she walks in relationship with Jesus, it will be his path for her. Again, do you hear what's happening? An encounter with Jesus transforms you. The writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, said it this way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he goes on to say, so do not be attracted by strange new ideas. Do not be tempted by what the world has to offer. Your strength comes from God's grace. Your strength comes from God alone. It takes us back to Morgan's declaration, no other thing will make me happy, will fulfill me if I don't pursue his love first. My desire at Redeemer is that every Sunday here would be just like Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus. That every Sunday would be that kind of an encounter with the living God in whose presence we are right now. That every Sunday, you, his people, would arrive with Zacchaeus' anticipation for meeting Jesus, for encountering him, for experiencing his love and his power. That wouldn't just be church to show up to, but that would be an expectation of God's presence and power meeting with us. Amen? Amen. That you would not just sing songs about him, but that you would truly worship him in the music and in the words, in the scripture and in the prayers. That every Sunday you would be open as Zacchaeus was to God's conviction and transforming power in your heart. That you would come prepared to encounter the living Lord Jesus Christ. That your Sundays would not be about doing tradition and religion, going to church, but that it would be about an encounter with the living God, whose love will forever change those who turn to him. Not just once, not just the first time, but every time you turn to him, that his love has that kind of power. That it can restore you when you're broken. It can revive you when you're desperate. That it can lift you up through his community. That you can celebrate what he's done together. That every Sunday you would leave impacted by your encounter with the living God. Not just thinking, well, that was nice, but giving thanks to God for the movement of his presence and his power in the declaring of his word here. That you'd leave impacted and changed through his word, empowered to live as his man or his woman in the upcoming week. That it would be a sending out to do the work he's given us to do. This is the power in the gospel, the good news in Jesus Christ. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, every one of you is created to live in relationship with the living God who first loved you. Scripture declares that the Lord despises empty religion and hearts enamored by other idols. We heard a portion of that in our reading from Isaiah. Throughout Scripture, God cries out for people to turn to him, for his people to return to him, that he might pour his love and his spirit afresh into your hearts. He loves us when we are yet sinners. We heard in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, those who've never met him and those who've wandered away. Jesus loves you through his cross upon which he bled and died to pay the price for your sin and my sin. That through faith in his name, you have salvation and redemption, the transforming power of his love. That we would come each Sunday expectant to meet the living God. It's this living God we worship today. Amen. It's this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who reigns today from his throne, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who brings new life and transformation to all who turn to him, who gives the gift of salvation to all who believe in the powerful name of Jesus, resurrected from the dead, King of kings and Lord of lords. Right now, as you sit in God's presence, as you encounter afresh his love, who he is, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and his salvation, I want you to remember Zacchaeus didn't measure his words before the Lord. He blurted them out. He sensed what he had to speak to God from his heart, and he spoke it. And I ask you this morning, what is it that your heart wants to speak to the Lord? This may be the first encounter in a long time that you've had with the living God. You may not know. You may be sensing right now what it is your heart needs to speak to the Lord. I want you to listen to your heart this morning. And we're going to do something different that we haven't done before in the midst of worship. I'm going to invite you to either remain seated or to kneel for prayer right now. May we humble ourselves before the Lord. I invite you to listen to your heart, whether praise or repentance, petition asking God, whether adoration or confession, what does your heart want to cry out to Jesus? And right now, as we continue our worship of the living God, I invite you to speak whatever it is the Lord is asking you to speak. And I'm asking you to speak it out loud, and I'm asking you to speak it all at the same time. There's no order here because we are all in God's presence. Declare to the Lord what he wants to say through your heart.